The Diamondbacks have showed that they're going to be going all in this season as they have signed Jordan Montgomery to a one-year deal plus a vesting option for 2025. We'll discuss that, the Paul Sewald injury, and the opening day rotation on today's episode of the Snakes of the Diamond podcast. So hello everyone and welcome in. I am Mike McDermott. I write for Fan Nation's Inside the Diamondbacks on the Sports Illustrated website. And I'm joined today by Wes. Bye. Wes, how are you doing today?
I'm shocked that the Diamondbacks actually made a free agent signing in like the end of spring training. It's still a big surprise.
Yep. So obviously the big picture story of the day, late last night, the news broke that the Diamondbacks were going to sign left-handed free agent starting pitcher Jordan Montgomery, a pitcher they faced in the World Series in Game 2. In fact, the Diamondbacks handed Montgomery a loss as he was outdueled by Merrill Kelly in a pitcher's duel that turned into a blowout. It was the Diamondbacks' only win of the World Series, but you know what they say, when they beat you, you join them.
Yeah, that's I like the Athletic put out the head cannon that he's just was left in Chase Field and he's been there all off season. And then they show up to Chase Field yesterday, the day before, and like, oh, you're still here? You want a contract? And that's, I'm just going to assume that's how that actually worked, even though I know for a fact that's not how it works.
So, obviously we mentioned in the last episode about the Eduardo Rodriguez injury. Montgomery is not going to start the season in the major league rotation. Maybe two or three turns through, you're going to see what D-backs, you're going to see Tommy Henry in that spot. But obviously, it circles back to Rodriguez. I think it allows them to take their time and not rush.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And then, because with Montgomery and without, if you're replacing Rodriguez with Montgomery, the D-backs, in my opinion, have a top 10 major league rotation. Do you think it's top five?
Yeah, I would say like right now, if you don't have E-Rod in that rotation, then I would say it's in the upper half of rotations. Like that's a really good starting four with Gallen, Kelly, Jordan Montgomery, Brandon Pfaadt. The fact that like Brandon Pfaadt's being moved to the fifth starter role basically once everyone comes back. I mean that is by far the best rotation in the NL. I don't really think there's any that for the team that's that comparable. Like who's even in the argument that's better than the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, because also, obviously, the natural thought process is when the Diamondbacks just sign a starter out of nowhere, question becomes, okay, what did, does that mean there's something up with Rodriguez? And I'm not sure. And it's like, I'm not sure if there's anything about that. Of course, Lavelle yesterday said that Rodriguez is going to pick up a baseball, which doesn't really mean much to me because I can pick up a baseball, but.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, Otani was throwing.
Once he's throwing, it's news once he starts throwing off and down.
And we know that he's not going to be pitching until September. So, like, that doesn't mean anything picking up a baseball right now. I would have to think that the last strain is more than a grade one. Like, I would have to bet that it's probably worse than that. And they're not confident that he's going to be back by, the beginning of May, which is what we were originally talking about. I think it's probably going to be mid-May before we see Paul Sewald again. We see E-Rod again. That had to move the needle on it. And it really does. It does seem like Ken Kendrick is all in. Like, I've never seen him. Like the payroll's been raised by what, 40, 50 million?
Payroll's up to 175, and it's 40 million, yeah. More than 40 million over the previous record. So it's like they didn't just set a record, they freaking shattered it. It might be, and that might be a number that stands for a long time, unless the D-backs win the World Series, and they'll probably keep it up at least another year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing that we had to just like go over this contract structure, I think is really important, is that there's a vesting player option. So even if he hits all of his, the incentives to increase the value of his player option next year, he still has the option of opting out. So it's a player option, just to be clear.
Yeah, it's a player option. It's a
vesting player option.
It's still a player option, but then the number is determined by how many starts he makes. If he makes 10 starts, then he's guaranteed $20 million for 2025.
Yeah.
If he makes 20, I think it goes up with 20 and 23 starts. So if he makes 23 starts, he's guaranteed $25 million next year is the thing. So the only reason I would see Montgomery opting out of 2025 is if he feels like he can get a strong multi-year deal on the market next year. That's the only way I see it. It's good
the way
money.
I can see that happen is if he has a good year like just as good as last year. The Diamondbacks don't make the playoffs for some reason. I could see him opting out. If they make the playoffs, they make a decent run, I could see him, you know, coming back just to get another chance, you know, another crack at a World Series. But like that's, I mean, it's a great, I mean, for $25 million, if I told you at the beginning of the offseason the Diamondbacks were going to go out, get Gino Suarez, get E-Rod, get Jordan Montgomery, go get Jock Peterson, Randall Grichuk, and all the other moves that they made, I don't know if anyone would believe me.
Yeah, I would have said, I don't know if the D-backs would commit that much payroll to improving the roster, but of course, give Kendrick credit. He's put his money where his mouth is. And it came off as word salad at the time, but he actually did it.
Yeah,
there may be an ulterior motive to this, but there's nothing wrong with
speculation. That's speculation at this point. I mean, there's no reason. I mean, I've seen some people we both mutually know suggesting that he's sick, and like, I told you.
No, not that one. I'm thinking something else.
Kendrick looks fine for his age. I think if anything is related, you know, if he's having questions about his own mortality, it's because he's had several of his peers die over the last couple of years. And I mean, that would make me consider him. He's the same age as my dad. My dad passed away 15 years ago. So I would be thinking about that a little bit in the back of my mind, whether regardless of his health. I don't know anything other than that. I think that he wants to get a deal done with the stadium.
That's the ulterior motive, in my opinion. I think he wants to say, see, I'm investing in this team. I need you to help me invest in this stadium. That's how I see it.
You know what? The Royals have been doing the same thing. Is the Royals want to get a deal done. They went out. They signed Bobby Witt to an extension. They made they're the only other team that really had a comparable offseason. I think it's pretty much the same motivation, is that they want to get a stadium deal done.
Yeah. I think they want to put the pressure on the county, city, state to up their offer for public dollars going into the renovations by increasing fan support. Now, of course, I've already seen what the stadium looks like from a gameplay basis. It is much improved compared to last year. The lights are much brighter. I think the experience is better in the ballpark. Obviously, we got to see the home run celebration twice against Cleveland on. Monday night.
I heard the sound system being tested out, and it sounds better through my phone than it did in the stadium last September. So that's a huge improvement. I mean, I know they weren't up to, people don't realize that they weren't up to code of what MLB finds, this is MLB standard. They were way behind that in terms of sound system, the lights display, all that. Yeah, they was all behind. So, I mean, that was the priority. The roof, yes, it's a big deal, as we learned by the rain out the other day, which was very weird. You cannot close that.
They could have played through that if they wanted to.
Yeah. So, I mean, the big thing here is that Kendrick has made do on his promise. And, I mean, I think, that's a big part of it, is if you go back to the World Series this year, okay, and you've spent all this money, I think it's really hard to say, oh, Ken Kendrick doesn't care about the team. He's just trying to hustle the county for money, or whatever you want to look at negatively. I mean, he's putting, I give him credit, he's putting, the effort into it to really show that he's willing to invest in the team.
Okay, so just as a curiosity, the Diamondbacks postseason run added $107.6 million to the Arizona economy last year. So that's where this economic windfall is coming from.
Yeah.
And the fact that Chase Field basically got to host, three LCS games, three World Series games.
Yeah.
He only had one more playoff game, but that was a... Everyone who was at that game is going to remember what happened in that game for the rest of their life.
Yeah, so I mean, people want to make the argument, and I mean, there is some sense to this, of that, there's not only so much money that having public private investment does, to the local economy. If you have a perennial playoff contender, I think it's pretty clear the amount of money that's injected into the economy as opposed to what would normally be, just from the team being there. So if Kendrick can maintain his payroll and he, keeps his team, in contention and being legit contenders, perennially, I think that there's good reason for the county to consider upping their portion of, the money they pay into the renovation. I don't see a reason why they wouldn't, especially, you know, if Kendrick is really, you know, actually following through. And he seems to, I mean, it really seems sincere and genuine. I mean, this is money talks.
I do think Kendrick's trying to improve his public image.
Well, I mean, you got to wonder, okay, in terms of AZ sports history, everyone knows, like, the guy is Jerry Colangelo. Yes, he left the franchise in debt. Yes, he has issues, but the bottom line is he brought a championship to Phoenix and Arizona. What has Kendrick done in terms of, like, you know, that kind of legacy? He hasn't really done much. I mean, a couple playoff appearances and then this World Series. So, I mean, that has to be a factor of you're getting up there in age. What's the legacy I'm going to leave? I'm sure that's part of the whole, you know, getting older mortality question, but that's just speculation. I don't really think that's that much of an issue.
Well, I think Ken Kendrick wants to, when he's no longer owner of the team, to have the same regime in place, both in the baseball operations and field thing, like yeah. I said. And there's a good chance that's already been set in stone. Obviously, Hazen and Lavelle got massive extensions last winter. I think Hazen was before the D-backs started their postseason run. And then Lavelle, not too long after the World Series.
I mean, I would expect this, you know, regime to stay in place for the rest of the decade. I mean, we know Corbin's going to be with the team until 29?
If I remember no, 30.
What?
Unless he suffers a career-ending injury, that club option for 2030 is a no-brainer.
Oh, well, I mean, it's officially, as far as you know, he'll be here until at least 2029. I mean, yeah, it should be a no-brainer, but, you know, who knows? But, I mean, like, that says a lot. Like, you have your main players under control. The only guys that really...
You've already taken care of your franchise player.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, guys you want to extend, it's Gabby Moreno, Gallen, Kelly. That's pretty much it. Maybe Jordan Lawler. Maybe Jordan Lawler if you think he's going to break out like Corbin Carroll.
I mean, the thing is, the only player that I think I would offer a long-term extension to would be Gallen, but I'd probably be more willing to do it after the season than during the season, because you're still going to have to pay top dollar no matter what. So yeah, you might as well see if he can maintain his level of play. There's definitely some underlying stuff last year that I think got overlooked.
Well, the projections are not particularly favorable for Zach Gallen. If you really, if you're looking at them, I mean, they're not exactly a believer. They're not a believer in Merrill Kelly either. So I don't know what the internal metrics are for the Diamondbacks. If it's, like, worth it according to their metrics. If it isn't, then, like, I mean, by all means, don't. But, like, who you replace them with, that's really the question. So, I mean, they at this point, that's a bridge they'll cross when they get there. They're still under control for two more years.
Yeah, you know, most of
that's the window contention right now.
Yeah, most of their current, and this is the case if Montgomery doesn't opt out, but the current starting rotation is under control through 2025. Like, yeah. Kelly's option is a no-brainer. That's going to get exercised unless his arm falls off. And then Gallen's got one more trip through the arbitration. That's your window. That's your window right now. Because the D-backs D-backs have to find another ace-level pitcher or a number one starter. And then once they do, the window opens again.
Yeah. If they're in a good position, this is really, like, I mean, I think that's probably played a factor into it too. It's like, this is the closest the Diamondbacks have actually had to a real window, like a realistic window of contention. Like, we've talked about it before with just, like, the prospects of, like, the window's open now by far. There's no debate about it.
Yeah. The window opened when they signed Carroll to that extension.
Yeah.
That's when it started.
So how many starts do you think Jordan Montgomery will make this year? Like, what? Let's
I think he'll be paid $25 million next year.
I think that's a safe bet. I mean, that's the way this contract
He's gonna get the maximum value of that option. I'll just say that Montgomery's got pretty clean bill of health for his career, especially recently. Let me check something. So we'll go to his baseball reference page.
I mean, the only red flag that he has for health is that his velocity is upticked, and, like, there's not necessarily a correlation with that.
He's not a guy that relies on velocity per se.
But, you know, his velocity has increased by about 4 miles per hour since he was with the Yankees.
Yeah, so Montgomery last three seasons, 30, 32, 32 starts in the regular season.
Yeah. there's no reason to believe he's going to miss any starts or have any health problems. So, like, I would think that he's gonna hit the max or close to the max amount of, like, the top incentive or the one down from there. That's where I would think that he's going to at least get to that point.
All right. Since 2021, he's thrown, okay, so 94 starts, 524 innings. And we're going to divide by 94. I always average by the outs. So Montgomery's averaged about 17 outs a start the last 3 years, which is above average.
Yeah, that's going pretty deep into a game this year. I mean, at least at the standards we have today, like that's an innings eater, basically.
I mean, he's not going to throw 180 innings this year. He's going to miss three turns through the rotation.
Yeah.
I think they can get him fully ramped up.
The inning pitch threshold, I would think he's going to hit probably 160, 170 at most.
Yeah. But there's a possibility he can give you a 180 plus if he stays in year two.
Yeah.
Like I said. And also, an additional bonus why D-backs would go after Jordan Montgomery is no qualifying offer. All the qualifying free agents have already signed.
And there will be no qualifying, you know, actually to his credit, there's going to be no qualifying offer whenever he leaves his team. So like that's a deal that worked out for both sides. Like a lot of people pointed out over the offseason that like Jordan Montgomery is a good fit. I know both of us were skeptical of the signing just because like we already made a bunch of signings. I mean, you can't predict Ken Kendrick is going to raise the payroll by as much as he did. So like going the offseason, I think it's pretty understandable that no one would have seen them make this many moves.
And they made this many moves with and attacking all tiers of free agency. If you consider Montgomery a top tier free agent, I don't consider him that to be that much better than Rodriguez. But
yeah, I mean, relative to the free agent class this year, sure, yep. he's one of the top tier stars of like because period. No, he's like a middle tier star.
Like I view Montgomery as a high end three, low end two.
Just to be fair, we don't consider Blake Snell a top tier free agent. I know you agree with that.
Montgomery's got a better track record hitting free agency than Snell, in my opinion, or at least a more consistent one. I don't know about better, actually.
Well, I mean, I just in terms like I would put them at the same tier. I'm just saying I do not consider Blake Snell a top tier free agent. There really were no like top tier free agents this year. I mean the
Lee, Yamamoto, Otani, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's Otani, and like those really don't, those two, Yamamoto and Otani, don't count because they were going to go to the Dodgers regardless. And then Lee, I think, is really he's the winner of the Scott Boras coin by far. Like, he got the most money. He got what he was. He's the only guy who got what he asked for.
How many times is this 24-year-old center fielder that at worst is going to be as good as whose floor is probably 20 last year's Cody Bellinger?
Yeah, no, a really good comp for him 25. Is Corbin Carroll with better arm. Like, yeah, like if Corbin
Lee's Carroll, got if Corbin some decent size.
If Corbin Carroll hit the free agent market in 2 years, what would he get? That's pretty much Morton what Jung,
a bigger contract what than what he has now.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's because he'd be getting like 25 to 30 million a year.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. So, I mean, the NL West is by far is maybe the top, it's really shaping up to the toughest division in baseball with only the National Rockies. League. Only the Rockies being a joke.
Yeah. By the way, there's an image that one of our writers at Inside the Diamondbacks meme put up. I'm going to go find it. Sent West this last night because he's been clamoring for that.
I don't know if Jake saw my original tweet, but like, yeah, I just don't have the Photoshop skills or Photoshop to do this.
All right. I'm going to go find it.
Jake just taking credit for my ideas.
Well, he deserves credit for actually doing it.
Yeah, no, he totally, I didn't say anything to him, but like, I think it's funny.
And I think he came up.
He's kind of done the same thing I had suggested, and I think that's great. I mean, great minds think alike. That's all I think of it.
All right, we're going to put this on screen for you, you guys see. And also make sure to give Jake a follow. Like I said, he writes for us at Fan Nations Inside Diamondbacks, which you can go to at si.com/MLB/Diamondbacks. Remember that.
Yeah, this is the shape of the NL West right now. The Rockies are just going to be looking goofy in last place.
Yeah, I think the Rockies not spending isn't necessarily a bad move because they don't have the pieces to contend. You got to develop them.
I mean, I'll give them credit. If they think that Tovar, like, they signed him to extension. We were going to talk about it last time. I think we just spaced on it, but that's...
It was because other big news dropped.
Yeah. Well, originally we had talked about it, but I think, like, that's a good start for them. I mean, they you know, you get a contract, you show that you're willing to give your young players a year. That does attract more free agents if you're, like, building a young core. So, I mean, the Rockies could be a contender in a few years. They might be, you know, if they can build their farm more, make some good drafts. Like, they've got some, like, Dylan Cruz looks like he's going to be a hell of an outfielder.
Too bad Dylan Cruz doesn't play for the Rockies organization.
Oh, wait, who did they draft? Oh, they drafted Dollander. That's right. I forgot.
I like Fernandez. Speaking of outfielders, I like Fernandez. That guy's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Yankiel Fernandez. He should be, in my opinion, he's the Rockies' top prospect, not Amendola. Every time the feedbacks face Amendola, they seem to do fine. Fernandez, yeah, every time they face him, he's smacking the ball over the yard.
Yeah, Yankiel Fernandez has actually impressed me of the few times I've seen him take a bat.
He crushed a curveball. I don't know. You can argue it was a location mistake, but that was a pitch at the bottom of the strike zone.
But that's impressive. I saw that at bat, and like, that and kind he of power
nuked that ball. That and then, of kind course, of he's power facing Yelber Diaz, who is striking out their entire lineup, and he gets a slider down below the zone, and he gets the barrel on it and smokes a single to right.
Yeah, it's very hard to make contact at below your knees.
Either that guy's a good low ball hitter, or he's got a really good bat. Like I said, and he can actually play outfield too, legitimately. So, like I said, that guy's gonna be a problem.
Yeah, the real thing is that, like, the Rockies are just—I don't know.
Rockies have a good farm system.
Have they made any moves at all this offseason?
Other than Tovar, Tovar in itself is a good move.
That does not count. Have they added anyone in free agency this offseason? I don't think they added
2 years of control for him.
Okay. I guess it counts. I mean, that's something. But, like, yeah, I mean, you look at the rest of the NL West. Like, the Dodgers obviously had to, you know, sign the top of the free agent market. The Giants got the leftovers. The D-backs have just made some really smart moves. I think are kind of the dark horse here. I think there's some issues with that clubhouse. I think they could have made more moves. They made more moves than the Rockies, but not as much as the other three teams. So they're the one team I have no idea what the outcome of this season is going to be for them. They could be just as bad as they were last year, or they could be as good as they were the year before.
Padres, in my opinion, have better on paper talent than the Diamondbacks, but the Diamondbacks' advantage comes down to I think Hazen's a better GM than Preller. I think Torey Lovello is leaps better manager than all but three managers in the game. Like, Torey Lovello's a top five manager for me. Of course, I think Dave Roberts is one of the four I would put ahead of him because it is tough managing the Dodgers.
Oh,
like, let's not ignore that.
Conflicting personalities there. Like, that is a real...
No, there's no personality problem. I don't think there's any personality problems there. It is tough to be a Dodgers manager.
I just mean, like, in terms of ego, it's not necessarily conflicting personalities. You guys that are all, like, top of their game. I mean, yes, Freddie Freeman is a very friendly guy. Mookie Betts is a very friendly guy. I mean, Mookie could get along with Trevor Bauer, which says a lot to me. Takes a lot to get along with that guy. Really, you know, I think we're kind of underrating Bob Melvin going over to the Giants. I think that's really going to help that. That clubhouse is definitely dysfunctional last season. And like that, we can see the Giants really rebound from their bad season. Yeah. Although on paper, I don't think the Giants are a weird team.
Giants are a weird team. They could lose 90 games. They could win 90 games. But then again, so can everybody. But the Giants on paper talent is much improved, in my opinion. And I think going from Kapler to Melvin's plus five wins.
Oh, Melvin, absolutely. That's the real move of their offseason to me is getting Bob Melvin.
Yeah, Melvin getting a builder. You already had a Cy Young contending pitcher. Now you got your, would you consider Lee their face of the franchise now?
That's something the Giants have lost. I don't know about just now, but I would expect him to be by the end of the year. He's going to, Giants fans are going to love that guy playing.
I've seen three at bats from Jung Hoo Lee. He's going to be fine.
He he's going to be good. I would not be surprised. Between him and, I mean, the two front runners for Rookie of the Year in the NL, in my opinion, are actually Jung Ho Lee and Yamamoto. Although Yamamoto had really rough spring, so I don't know what to make of him anymore.
One start was basically unintentionally sabotaged by Gavin Lux not being able to play shortstop.
Wait, I should correct it. He had a very rough start of the season because that was an actual regular season game.
There's that Padres on paper talent that I talked about right there.
Yeah. Yeah, on paper, the Padres could be really good. You know, they're going to go for one last team. I mean, I think the Diamondbacks are better than every team other than the Dodgers in the NL West. I think that's not a controversial opinion at all.
Put the right manager in that to run that clubhouse, I think the Padres become equally as scary as their 2022 counterparts. Remember, 2 years ago, that team was in the NLCS playing the same team that the Diamondbacks outlasted in a rock fight.
That's the thing, is like the Padres, on paper, the last few years have looked like they were the class in the NL, and it just that didn't show up on paper. Like, since that NLCS, they really have been a very dysfunctional clubhouse.
Yeah, there's no way that's happening with the Diamondbacks. If they go down, it'll be because, obviously, we already know.
Injuries
will be the biggest reason, and obviously, Diamondbacks already have one player down that they probably couldn't afford to have out.
That's a good transition right there. Paul Seawald. That's it's a concern. I mean, but hear me out here. We made it to the playoffs, okay, with only a month and a half of Seawald, with no Erod, with no Jordan Montgomery. I think even regardless of not starting the year with them on the roster, like, that's still an improvement down the stretch. Like, come late May, June, this team should look really scary on paper.
I'm gonna throw this in there. We got to throw out the record because the D-backs were in the midst of a downward spiral when they picked up Seawald.
Yeah.
Remember, they were in they had a 9-game losing streak, which usually you do not overcome in a season, but they did because they had a kicktastic September.
I think it more is a result of Moreno being on. Like, I mean, pretty much when he wasn't in the game, like, it wasn't playing, the team was not very good. He's really, I think, the keystone of this entire team. When Gavin Moreno's in the lineup, he's directing the pitching staff, taking good at bats. I mean, it sets the tone for the entire team. And when he's not there, it's a very different club.
Quality catcher play is a must in this era of baseball. Although pitch calling aspect is less paramount because pitchers can call their own pitches now, which I think is a good thing, in my opinion.
Oh, I love that they can do that. I mean, it's kind of the whole pitch calm thing is really
there's still some kinks to work out, but it's sped up. I think people are underestimating how much letting pitchers use pitch calm has sped up the game.
Oh yeah, I mean half the time when you hear a pitcher shake off his catcher, it's because there's communication issue. It's a point blank. It's a communication issue. It's not necessarily he's like, oh, I disagree with what you want me to throw. It's, what are you even saying?
Yeah. And of course, there's more uses of pitch comm than calling pitches. You can actually run your defense through the pitch comm like the D-backs have done.
Oh, so yeah. I mean, it's really interesting like that teams are finding uses for it besides just calling the game. I mean, it's fantastic to find more uses out of it.
Yep.
So Kevin Ginkle?
Yeah, I'm not worried about the ninth inning because I feel like Ginkle can handle the ninth inning. I'm more worried about getting him the ball.
Yeah, that's my concern.
To me, Ginkle's a guy is an adrenaline junkie. He wants to pitch in that situation. He wants that.
So, I mean, right now the bullpen, how's it shaping up? Our seventh inning guy and our eighth inning guy, who do you think they are?
TBD, in my opinion. I think Ginkle locked up. I think the D-backs will need McGuff to get back to his May-June form where he was flat out unhittable, where you were either whiffing or beating the ball on the ground.
Yeah, that's a good turn for mine.
He needs to and McGuff needs to find a slider. Righties are killing him. If that slider becomes an out pitch, that's your eighth inning man right there.
Yeah,
and I mean, then, that's my concern. You match up the seventh with Thompson and Mantiply, or if not Mantiply, Kyle Nelson. You match up the sixth and the seventh inning between those two. That's basically your back. That's basically your setup and closer role. Now, of course, the D-backs are going to need to get some quality outings from Miguel Castro as well. So obviously, he should never come into a game with runners on base. Too volatile.
I agree with that.
Castro's too volatile. That's
the bullpen.
Like, his good days are very good. His bad days are very bad.
Yeah, that's really my concern here, is that like if without clear-cut role, like setup roles, I do have some concerns about the bullpen. I wonder, you know, it's going to look a lot better once Seawall comes back. But I mean, like you said, the biggest concern is not really necessarily closer. It's your setup guys.
And they may need somebody that's currently in Reno to step up too.
That seems very likely. I don't know who's made the roster of the relievers so far.
Jarvis is a long man, but so Jarvis, we can pretty much take this to the bank. Jarvis is a long reliever, but Jarvis is not going to be in the bullpen for very long unless they want him to be there. And if that's the case, his outings are going to get shorter.
Yeah.
If they want to keep him stretched out, they're going to send him back to Reno to start.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think obviously we're going to see Ryan Nelson in the rotation.
Nelson's going to be in the rotation. Yeah, Henry would be the guy that goes once Montgomery is up to speed. Henry, they're not gonna send down Nelson unless he stinks. He won the competition. Unless Nelson flat out stinks.
I would expect him to move him to a bullpen role after all the injuries. The injured guys come back.
By the time Erod comes back, somebody's gonna go down.
He's best suited for that role. Yeah, he's best suited for that role, and they're gonna have to make some moves. I mean, I'm really wondering who's gonna be released, because we've already released the obvious candidates in Strzelecki.
Yeah, they already DFA'd Strzelecki to get Tucker Barnhart on the roster. A roster move that literally everyone in Arizona saw coming. But
Well, except for the people calling for Rivera being DFA'd. So I mean, he may be the guy in the chopping block.
It's a possibility that Rivera gets released. I mean, sorry, DFA'd. More likely, I wouldn't be surprised if they trade him.
He seems too useful to put him on waivers. Like, there's no way he's going to make it through waivers.
He's not even going to make it through the top bottom five teams. Like, Kansas City might take him back.
Yeah, I very, very much can see that happening. That's why I've always been advocating against DFAing Rivera, is because, like, we don't really have...
No, you can still trade him after a DFA.
The other candidate would be Pavin.
No, they're not going to trade him.
They like Pavin too much. He's got some blackmail on Kendrick and
remember
Corey
what we said on a previous episode? We said Pavin Smith is literally the baseline for a major league first baseman, or at least as a backup.
Yeah.
Not as a starter. Smith's not a starter, in my opinion.
The thing is, regardless, it's going to be probably one of those two guys just because it's redundant. I mean, Rivera looked great at first base in spring. Like the few innings that he played at first, he looked good.
So did Smith. Smith looked better.
That's the thing, if we're just choosing, I mean, they're not going to entertain Pavin Smith in the outfield. So it's pretty much he's limited as a first baseman and a DH. Rivera has the option of, you know, at least playing third, playing first. He's a couple innings at shortstop. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't think you got enough chances to really give him a fair evaluation.
Well, if Rivera's not on the roster, your backup shortstop's Blaze.
Yeah.
Possibly. Unless they bring someone up that was already sent out, which is unlikely. I have no idea.
We're in the final days of spring training. We'll know by Sunday.
No. We'll know today.
We should. We should know all the final roster cuts by, like, today, if not tomorrow. I mean,
guys want to know if they're going to be on the major league club tomorrow.
Yeah, set up your apartment in Reno.
Well, I'm pretty sure that D-backs just already have it set up D-backs, anyway.
Yeah, that's changed now. The housing is generally provided by teams. So, right now the roster. Like I said, there's concerns with the injuries to start the year. My biggest concern actually is if they get off to a really bad start, like it's many games possible. Under 500, and it's going to be hard to dig themselves. I mean, you can't win a season in April and May, but you can certainly lose it.
2021 D-backs say hello.
Yeah.
There's
teams that have come back from really bad deficit, but it's like there's a certain point where it's like, okay, yeah, you've got these reinforcements, but if you're already 10 games back in the wild card by the time, you know, Erod and Montgomery and Seawall come back, like, then it's like, that's a big hole to climb out of.
Well, the D-backs will be in the cellar if they're 10 games out of the wild card race come June 1st.
We're going to see a fire sale.
They're competing with the Rockies for last place, if that's the case.
I don't think that's going to happen. It's still like it's a concern. Worst case scenario, like that is a concern if they get off to a bad start.
I mean, with the bullpen, I think they have legitimate minor league depth. Like if Frias can't cut, you got Martinez. And for me, Martinez is okay. Martinez is fine up here.
I think a lot of it's just getting the reps and like getting into like
it's that, just getting the like, right pitch mix for Martinez. Yeah, in my opinion. So. His four seamer is hittable despite its velocity. However, his sinker looks a lot less hittable. Maybe he starts throwing that.
His mechanics look a lot cleaner in the spring compared to last year. If you're looking at it from last spring versus this spring, he looks a lot better. And I think we will see him this year. So he's a bullpen arm that like once it clicks, he's going to be nasty to face.
He's already nasty to face. You don't know if a pitch is coming behind your head.
He's only nasty because you have to worry about getting plunked in the head.
I was going to say, with Martinez, it feels also like if he has to throw a strike, I feel like he can do that.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel more confident he can do that.
He's made progress. That's really my point. I think we will see him probably by the All-Star break later.
And I think also Corbin Martin would make a lot of bullpens too.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they just want to see him healthy first.
That's the thing I was going to say. Is Corbin Martin... as we all know, he, like, as soon as he came back, he got injured. So I think they just want to see him be healthy, no red flags in terms of his health, that they can actually count on him, because you don't want to just call up Corbin Martin and have him get injured again. It's the same thing with Erod or Seawald. They could probably be back sooner than what we suggested, but there's always a question of getting re-injured, and then, you know, then you're out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, the re-injury concern is fairly low with Martin because he had the surgery.
Yeah.
So that was going to be a longer rehab. But the reason to get surgery is the stuff in the peripherals are less likely to degrade as a result of the injury. He could have developed an arm injury in compensation for it. So instead, get the surgery, build back up normally.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. That's why I thought he should have done last year, and he did. So I think... once they no longer need a long man in the bullpen, because once Montgomery's around and you got four guys that can give you six innings a night, Montgomery and ERA, you're not going to need a long man necessarily. You got four guys that can give you six innings, and your fifth starter can give you five innings on most 90% of the, at least will give you five plus kind of thing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the thing that should make Diamondbacks fans really excited is that By the All-Star break, the worst starter in our rotation will probably be Brandon Pfaadt. I think he could be better than there's a good chance he's better. Yeah,
there's
than
a good chance that the D-backs' worst starter in the All-Star break is E-Rod. And that's not to disrespect him. That's not meant as disrespect.
That's more E-Rod of a compliment to Brandon Pfaadt.
Yeah, because E-Rod to me is going to be at least give you number four starter value.
Yeah. I mean, you should be excited. I mean, we all should be excited. I mean, this is probably one of the best rotations that the Diamondbacks have put together.
Yeah, I don't think the top end is as great as the Johnson Schilling years, but 3-5 is probably the best. We look at the best 3-5.
All time can compare to that duo of Randy and Kurt. Not many. There's not many teams that have even like a comparable front of the line ace as Randy, let alone a guy like Kurt following it up.
Who is top two, top three pitchers in the game? I mean, I guess you can say that Dodgers in the Koufax Drysdale era for one.
Yeah, there's not a whole, I mean, the Braves in the 90s maybe. That's probably the closest. They had Maddox, Smoltz,
Glavin.
Who am I talking about? Glavin, yeah, I can think of Tom Glavin. And then they have some good, they had really great rotations up until the mid-aughts, really. So,
the Braves were all but a dynasty in the 90s. They just didn't win enough titles to be called to one.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And they're the Dodgers of the 90s.
I mean, you look at the Braves, they lost the World Series in 91, 92. They had the 94 season canceled due to a strike. They won it all in 95. Lost to the Yankees in the World Series in 96 and 99.
This is bad luck on their part.
Six trips in the World Series in a decade.
I mean, let's look at the Dodgers and the Astros. They've, you know, had multiple trips to the, you know, deep in the playoff run, except for last year, of course. We just
well, the Astros have two World Series titles.
Yeah, I mean that's really our comparable here is, you know, there's really not that many rotations to be comparable, honestly. The Braves, I think, are a really good comp for them. If we if these guys reach their maximum potential, that's who I'd compare them to.
To the 90s Braves teams, I don't know if they're that good because the D-backs lineup isn't comparable, in my opinion.
I mean, if they reach their max potential, the rotation is comparable to that.
I do think if Jordan Lawler comes close to reaching their ceiling, I think his ceiling, the D-backs are a 90-win team.
Oh, yeah.
If you add him to that. But that's I struggle. Even with the Montgomery signing, I struggle to see this team getting to 90 wins.
Yeah, right now, I think that we're looking at anywhere from 87 to 90 wins. I could just see, if everything goes wrong.
I think it's now going to be closer to 90 than 85, but like, yeah. I had him at 85. I had him at 84 coming in. So Montgomery to me has him at 86.
The last time I looked at my like own, like, you know, kind of correlated projection systems together to kind of average them out, I was getting like 85 wins. I went back, just losing Erod and Seawald, I think moves the needle back to like you. I was wondering if they were going to get to 85 wins, if it's really realistic with those two, you know, starting the year injured. Jordan Montgomery, like, I mean, really, it does change the, I guess it moves the projection up by like 2 wins.
I think he undoes the loss of Erod, in my opinion.
I mean, it's kind of a wash, honestly. Just because
I would say cuts in half. I think Erod's going to miss 5 starts.
That seems like a possibility. I mean, hopefully he's back sooner. I mean, initially they said that it wasn't
longer
that
shut down, the longer it takes for him to come back.
Yeah, and as far as Jordan Montgomery goes, I heard that he was throwing 75 pitches in his sessions.
He needs to face hitters. He needs to face that.
Yeah,
he needs to
compete. So I don't think it's going to take him. I don't think it's going to take him that long to ramp it up, but it's going to take him 2-3 starts in the minors to get completely
throw, up speed. What I think he's going to do is they're going to throw a sim game. He's going to throw a sim game, and then he's going to throw a couple minor league starts, and then they're going to activate him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Active him to the active roster. Obviously, he's going to be on the 40-man roster. And Montgomery's already agreed to make a couple minor league rehab starts, a minor league assignment to start the year.
Yeah, I know what people were expecting with that, because it's like, of course, he's going to get some starts in you know, the minor league. It just wouldn't make any sense if he didn't. It's exciting. I mean, it's honestly, like, I'm just to reiterate my point earlier, it's a really exciting time to be a Diamondbacks fan. I mean, we're coming off a World Series. Kendrick is, you know, up the payroll significantly. I mean, the fact that we fell ass backwards into a World Series and then we've made all these reinforcements make me, you know, I think there's a good chance they could end up back there. I mean, I wouldn't predict that, but it doesn't seem out of the question that they could return to the World Series.
Yeah, they're going to need the same things to go right for them, but they're, basically, but I feel like they're the floor is definitely raised for them to win a series.
Yeah.
Like, could they beat the Dodgers in a 5-game series? Do you think this team could beat the Dodgers in a 5-game series?
Yeah.
What about the Braves?
I think so. I mean,
Philadelphia.
Oh, well, yeah, we beat them last year. So why wouldn't we be able to beat them this year? You know, like they haven't made that much.
Philadelphia is running it back. Philadelphia. If you feel confident the D-backs can beat those three teams in a 5-game series, and you feel confident this team could get back to the NLCS, or at least have an attempt to legitimately defend their NL pennant. Of course, it'll be interesting, like I said, how the I think the Dodgers would be the more interesting series because there's obviously a lot of story behind that one. Same with Philadelphia, but Diamondbacks aren't probably going to face the Phillies in the division series. They're either going to face them in the wild card or championship series.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is that, like, I would be more concerned of their ability to face the Braves, like, you know, beat the Braves and the Dodgers in a playoff series. Right. But they haven't really shown up in the playoffs. Like, that's the thing. If they both run away with their division and they get a bye again, I'm fairly confident that they'll be able to beat Diamondbacks, will be able to beat them in the world, in, you know, in a playoff series. If Mookie Betts actually shows up and hits, if Ronald Acuna actually hits, then I have some concerns. But that's pretty much it. So, I mean, really, like I was saying, is like the Braves and the Dodgers, like, their key players didn't show up Mookie Betts didn't hit. Freddie Freeman didn't hit. Ronald Acuna Jr. didn't hit.
I mean, in Dodgers' case, they were Zach Gallen brain fart from Betts and Freeman taking a donut for the series.
I mean, some of that was luck, but I mean, really, point is that until the Dodgers and the Braves prove that they can, that their shit works in the playoffs in a regular season, like not a 2020 season, I'm pretty confident in the Diamondbacks. I mean, they've beaten the Dodgers in a playoff series now. They've beaten the Phillies in a playoff series. They have not faced the Braves in the playoffs, but the Braves, like, didn't they lose in the first round?
I mean, the thing with the Braves and the Dodgers is, it's a division series against a division opponent. Those series are always unpredictable.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't think, I mean, hopefully, I mean, I'm, if the Diamondbacks can sneak into the playoffs if the first or second wild card, I think, or even
nobody's
going
to expect the D-backs to sneak into the playoffs like last year. The expectation is to get in, or the season's a failure.
Yeah, that's actually, I mean, 100%. I mean, that's, for this year to be considered a success, they need to make a playoff, they need to return to the World Series, and they need to win. And I think that's the goal for everyone in the organization. That's the goal.
What would be a successful regular season is getting into the playoffs. Once you're in, then you want to win it, try and win it all.
Yeah. I mean, just the regular season. Yes. It's just making the playoffs. So getting in the wild card. I mean, you would love to see them win the division. I don't think that's very likely. It's going to take a lot going wrong with the Dodgers.
D-backs have to win the season series to even have a chance.
They need to hope that Shohei was lying about everything, so he's suspended for a year to really get a chance to take the Dodgers in the division. Yeah. Which I don't think that's the case.
No, I don't think so either. But anyway, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks everyone for watching. Make sure to like and subscribe. Leave a comment down below for our listeners that are listening in on your podcast platform. Make sure to give us a 5-star review on your favorite platform, whether that's Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever platform suits your fancy. And again, I'm Mike McDermott. Like I said, you can check out my baseball written content at sdi.com/MLB/Diamondbacks. You can check out Wes's content on azsnakepit.com. And I think we've read everything. So yep. We're gonna. Any final words before we go?
Thanks for watching, everyone. Leave a comment. Tell us what you think, you know, of the Jordan Montgomery signing, and what you think. How do you think the Diamondbacks are gonna do this year?